the road. I left Battle Creek after 20 years of ministry in one church, and for 5 years we lived there still. I was a missionary, I traveled the world, I spoke in different places, took teams on mission trip. So for 5 years we were missionaries. We bought the parsonage we used to live in, so we were still there in town, but a little itty-bitty church, a lot like Oakwood on Baldwin Road before we moved here, the White Chapel. It was a lot like that. They called and asked me if I would come be their interim pastor while they were looking for a pastor. And I said I would. I'd come preach every Sunday, but they wanted me to come sit in the office during the week, a couple hours a day. And I did. And I got really bored. There's nothing to do in a little White Chapel, and nobody was coming by, nobody was calling, and so I worked on my messages, and then when after I got bored, I kind of walked around the church. And I found this rope. This mysterious rope going through a ceiling tile, and I didn't know where. And I wanted to pull it. I had a feeling it was an old church bell. I went outside and looked, and sure enough, it kind of lined up, but that rope was probably underneath the bell tower. Man, I wanted to pull that rope. I would walk out and I'd look at it. I'd think about making that big sound. Every once in a while, I'd touch the rope, thinking about making the big sound. You want to know if I pulled it? Yeah. Let's just take a vote. How many of you think I pulled that rope? You're right. I have no self-control. Eventually, after a week of trying not to pull the bell, I gave it a good tug and boom! Not too long later, the fire department showed up. They're like, did you pull the bell? Yes, I did. You're not supposed to pull the bell. It's an emergency bell. It's for the town. And I'm like, uh-oh. You might not have realized it, but I thought, man, we need a church bell. And so I decided that we would install a bell today. It's a fancy bell. You don't pull it just right, it doesn't quite work well. So we'll try that again. We'll give them time to reset. Because the bell has to stop swinging. Are they going to do this again? Here we go, Mark. Are you ready? Each of you have a rope today. If you don't have a rope, there are ropes in the back. Just a little section of a rope looks like this. I want to encourage you to do something a little different today. During the entire message, I'd like you to just hold on to that rope. I'd like you to just hold on to that rope in one hand. Today we're talking about a giant that can be very hard for many of you to deal with. And I want to let you know right from the get-go before we pray this message in, some of you are not going to be ready to deal with this issue today, and that's okay. One thing I don't want is people who've been traumatized to leave more traumatized and feeling guilty over something that perhaps it isn't time yet. Perhaps God's still working on you and you need more time. But there are many people in here today that I believe need to deal with this giant, and this giant is called, it's called unforgiveness, but I chose to use, let's go to the message slide if you can. When you get that, get my big idea up on the screen once we get it flipped over to the message slide. I'm calling it bitterness because unforgiveness leads to bitterness. And the giant is really bitterness that can form when we choose not to forgive. That giant in your life might seem like the pain and hurt that was done to you, but honestly, this morning, I want to focus on your choice, your decision to let it go and to give forgiveness. I find it interesting that in the middle of the word forgiveness is the word give. It is a choice to give something. It is a choice. Some of you can choose today to let go of the rope. Because this bell today, I wanted to illustrate something that's very true about unforgiveness. When we've been hurt, when someone has wronged us, we tend to hold on to that rope of that pealing sound of the bell. Are you ready, Mark? And we like to ring the bell. And that bell sound is the replaying the hurt. Every time we replay that bell sound, it reminds us of the pain we have. And sometimes we like hearing that bell. Sometimes we like to be reminded, man, I was wrong. That person shouldn't have done that. And we also like the fact that maybe others can hear it too. And we would like everybody to know that I was wrong, they were wrong, and so we ring the bell. And we keep ringing the bell. And that sound keeps playing. And we never let go of the rope. Well, listen, this morning I pray that God will use this message in His way in your heart, whatever it is that you're dealing with. Maybe today is the day you can let go of your rope and let God give you peace. Let's pray. Would you pray with me this morning? Would you give these words to God just silently? God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, I pray that you would be glorified. I pray that everyone here would be edified until they're satisfied, and that Satan would be horrified today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you who have been around Oakwood for a long period of time, way back to 2016, you might remember this message. I often don't do the same message in the same location twice, but after last week dealing with anger, Julie reminded me it would be a good time to talk about unforgiveness, talk about giving forgiveness. And so I went and looked for the book, and apparently I've given it away. Somebody has it still, and that's fine. I ordered six more. It's called Total Forgiveness. I have five of them here this morning. And if you hear this message and think, I need to do some more work on this, I need to rethink this, I'm going to leave these up here. I will put them in the front row. And if you would like to take one of these books, I'd encourage you to come take one with you, read it, bring it back so we can keep sharing that. Or maybe you need to give that as a gift to somebody you know that really is struggling with not being able to give forgiveness. Either way, it's okay if I never see those again. I have one in my office now because I bought six. So one of those is in my office. Five of them are for you, okay? Use those as you would today. The big idea this morning is bitterness that binds must fall. You do know that bitterness is something that affects you. You might think it's about the other person, but really bitterness is a choice, something you've decided that affects you. And then it affects people around you because who it makes you out to be. And so this morning I want to use 2 Corinthians, and I know we've been a little bit of practice this season of using our Bibles, bringing your Bibles. Today you're not going to be able to keep up because I cannot pause. We don't have time today. I'm using my sheet that is printed Word of God on sheet so I can read it. And I put all the verses I'm using on your notes today. So you can have those and go back and look at those. But just forgive me today. Forgive me. Give me forgiveness for flying through these passages today, okay? And not waiting for you to get to them. Our key verse this morning is 2 Corinthians 5. 17 through 18. You've heard the first verse quite often. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. We love that. The old is gone, the new is here. Christ has arrived, and now my old self is dead, and I'm raised to new life. We love that. It goes on to say this: all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. If you read this verse, you see that we are so blessed that God has chosen to forgive us. And He's chosen to remember our sins no more. We are truly blessed. And that is called reconciliation when God has made it right. He made it right through Jesus Christ. And then He tells us, and you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Guess what, Christian? Christians are responsible to be reconcilers and to be forgivers. Those who've been forgiven much must forgive much. And God gave it to us as a ministry, something we're supposed to be doing. And yet God's church struggles a lot with this. Forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. Forgiveness. How to forgive when everything in you wants to hold a grudge, point a finger, remember the pain. As you're holding your rope in your hand this morning, I want you to think of the name. The person, maybe, that's hurt you. And I want you to remember the thing that they've done that's hurt you. We all want to hold that grudge, point a finger, and remember the pain. That's ringing the bell. And we do that so well. But forgiveness is, and I went and looked it up in the dictionary, is to wipe the slate clean. To pardon, To cancel a debt, giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. It's an act of love, mercy, and grace. So this morning we're going to do some hard work on why should I forgive? And what is true forgiveness and what it is not. I want to be very clear today of what we're not telling you today. And I want to encourage you, if possible, at the end of this message to tangibly let go of the rope. That's why there's a garbage can here. You're going to be offered a chance to take that rope with the name and the thing that's been done to you and actually come to the front during our last song and give it up. Let it go. Why forgive? Let's walk through that first. Pretty simple stuff here. Because we have been forgiven. I mean, all Christians, we're sinners saved by grace, and we had the need to be forgiven by a holy God. He's a holy God. There's no sin allowed in heaven, and God himself, there is no sin in God, and therefore, to be made right with God, to have peace with God, forgiveness had to take place. This is why years ago, when I was traveling and speaking mostly to teenagers, there was so much confusion about how to become saved. What do I need to do to be saved? And there was so much confusion about this that I went and wrote a series, and I hope to make it a book someday, called Facts, Faith, Forgiveness. First, you got to know the facts from the Bible. Then you got to have faith. The Bible says, for by grace you're saved through faith. But you do need forgiveness. We can't miss that one. You can't just assimilate by coming to church enough and just show up long enough and say, okay, I'm in. I guess I'm in. I'm in. No, you are in Christ. The phrase in Christ, when you have the facts, faith, and forgiveness that's required. Forgiveness. Ephesians 4, 32. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, in Christ, God forgave you. God forgives us our sins through Jesus Christ and the work that was done on the cross to reconcile us to himself. So since we've been forgiven much, we must be people that give forgiveness. Everybody say give. The second thing is obedience to God. Why do I forgive? Because God expects us to. Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. See, Christian, there's a high bar standard here. As far as it depends on you, it often takes two to tango, amen? But as far as you're concerned, we should live at peace. We should live at peace. It's an act of obedience. It's to gain control of our lives from hurt emotions. Hurt emotions can cause us to be bitter people and affect people around you. In order for you to gain control of your life from these hurt emotions, we must give forgiveness. It starts right at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 4. Adam and Eve, they had two sons. We've got four people on the planet. You know the end story. One-fourth of the planet becomes a murderer, and three-quarters of the planet are victims of a terrible crime. This is awful. This is the beginning. It's not very far into the Bible, and we've got a terrible thing. How did it happen? Let's look at the text real quick. Genesis 4, 3 through 8. In the course of time, Cain brought some fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. There's our first mention of a giant in the Bible. Anger. We talked about it last week. That giant came to Cain. And Cain did some battle with this giant called anger, and he lost. The Bible says his face changed. He didn't look good anymore. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Isn't that true? Bitterness changes you, even the way you look. You know, anybody have that person in your life that could come to you and say, what's wrong? You have anybody that knows, that just looks at you and says, what's wrong? What's going on? What? Something about you? We need people in our life that can say, you're dealing with something. The Lord came to Cain and said, what's wrong with your face? Why are you so angry? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now Cain then said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Anger over hurt emotions. This started with Cain, and his emotions of his sacrifice was not accepted. We don't know exactly what it was, if he didn't give it with the right heart and attitude, or if he didn't give the best of the first fruits. Maybe he withheld and gave God the worst. We don't know exactly, but God rejected Cain's offering. Abel's he accepted. That made him angry. That's why these two giants go hand in hand. Anger, which leads to bitterness, which needs forgiveness. Cain had a choice to make. I want to point that out to you. Everybody say choice. Cain had a choice to make. It's like Eliab, David's oldest brother. He had a choice to make. He was rejected. It hurt his emotions. We understand that. That is painful. Hey, by the way, I'm not denying any of you that you've been through pain. Please don't come to me and say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I get that all the time. You just don't understand how hurt I have been. As if that's a free card. As if you got a free ticket. You were hurt so bad, and so now you can do anything you want, to react any way you want, because you've got that pain card. Look at the pain. And I've had people, I've had married couples, I've had individuals, parents, I've had teens, I've had so many people want to come in and play that card. Well, Pastor, I'm exempt because of the pain. No, you have a choice to make. We all have choices we make. What to do with the pain? We are going to have pain in life. People are going to hurt you. By the way, I could insert many illustrations here as a pastor over the years. And you know what I did? I decided I better not. It would feel really good for me, but all I'd be doing is... Mark, are you ready? I saw you weren't looking. All I would be doing is ringing the bell. So I can't even give my best illustrations today, but I've not been hurt. It would feel good to tell you some of my stories, because you would agree with me that all those people were skunks. Everybody here would be like, oh yeah. Except for when I'm talking about my wife, Julie. Then everybody's like, no, we're on her side. I love that. I love that you love her and you know that she's the sweet one in the family. Oh, hurt. It gains control. We need to gain control of our lives from hurt emotions. You need to be able to move on. So we won't become bitter and defile those around us. Hebrews 12, 14 through 15. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. If we don't deal with the bitterness that comes from the pain we've experienced, we become bitter and it ruins us. It does something terrible to us. Again, I told you last week, all your anger and bitterness that you're dealing with doesn't affect the person at all. They're happy as can be. They're on a beach drinking margaritas. They're happy as can be. They have no clue that they've hurt you. They're living life to its full. And you're the one poisoning yourself by not giving forgiveness moving forward. And bitter people... Anybody ever, don't raise your hand and don't nudge somebody or point. Anybody know anybody who's become bitter? Anybody ever been around somebody who's become bitter? It's not fun. They're not pleasant. You're afraid that every time you go near them, it's going to be ugly. Venomous. It's not good. Julie and I had opportunity to get out of town last week early. And we sat down with a couple, a dear friends of ours who've been hurt recently. Removed from a position of ministry wrongly, and there's been no resolve. Publicly, they were demeaned in front of everyone. Publicly, they were made a spectacle, although everything that they've accused them of is just not true. We sat down with them and had lunch, trying to encourage them. And I'm telling you, they were an encouragement to me over and over again. My friend kept saying, but we're not allowing bitterness to come in. We're frustrated, we're hurt. At times we get angry, but then we stop and say, but no, we will not become bitter over this. I'm like, wow. And in my mind, boy, they have a right to be bitter. I mean, I know what happened in this situation, and I'm not happy either. I'm struggling with bitterness myself. And yet they looked at me and said, we won't allow bitterness to ruin us. We've got each other. We've got our God. Oh, what an example. Godly people. So that's why we forgive, but let's talk about what forgiveness is not. Number one, forgiveness is not dependent upon feelings. Some of you might say today, but I don't feel like it. Yeah, I understand. Of course you don't feel like it. Nobody feels like giving somebody forgiveness when they've been hurt. So it's not dependent just upon feelings. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Now, don't get upset. I know what you're thinking. Like, this is not right. Forgiveness includes reconciliation. Not all the time. Reconciliation is when two parties come together and the wrong has been pointed out, and then an apology is made and restitution is made. That is perfect, and that becomes reconciliation. That's a great thing, and that should be our end goal. Remember, God gave us reconciliation through Christ, and He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. But let's be honest. What I'm talking about today is not reconciliation, because many times you can't get reconciliation. What if the person who wronged you is long dead? Can you still give forgiveness to somebody who can't apologize to you? That's why I'm talking about something totally different today than complete reconciliation. See, some of you won't move forward. Some of you have a death grip on your rope because you're waiting for a person to come to you and say, you were right and I was wrong. I owe you. That's what we want. But you might not ever get it. So what do you do with the rope? I'm begging you today to let go of your rope for your good. By the way, forgiveness is the most selfish, selfless thing you could ever do. Let me say it again. Forgiveness is the most selfish, selfless thing you could ever do. How could that be? Well, guess what? By giving forgiveness, you're doing yourself so much good. Isn't that crazy? It's a weird paradox. Play with that in your mind today. It's like looking in the barbershop mirror when they've got a mirror on both walls and it goes forever. Selfish, selfless, yes. That's what forgiveness is. It's not reconciliation. Sometimes you can't get it. 2 Corinthians, I didn't read that, 5:19. It was at the end of the first verse I read at the beginning of our message today about the old is gone, the new is here. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. It goes on to say that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We want that. We desire that. But not often can you get it. So what do you do to move forward? We give forgiveness. Forgiveness is not pretending you weren't hurt. I'm not going to tell you to stuff your feelings today. It's not dependent upon your feelings coming around. But I'm not asking you to squash your feelings. That's not real. It's not realistic. People that do that over and over again end up blowing up, and it's a bigger explosion at the end anyway. So don't stuff your feelings and emotions. Don't pretend you weren't hurt. I'm not telling you to just pretend that what happened to you didn't happen. Don't do that. Forgiveness is not saying the action wasn't wrong. In order to get forgiveness, you don't have to say, well, it's okay. We do that all the time, by the way. Somebody does something to you. No, it's okay. And stop saying that. Sometimes it's not okay. Right? Sometimes it was wrong. Whether they'll say it or not, you were wrong. So we don't have to say the action wasn't wrong. Quite often you need to give forgiveness because of what was done was wrong, and you're unable to get past it. Not approving. We're not saying we're approving. John 8 and 11, I love this passage of Scripture. No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Now go and leave your life of sin. This is the story of a woman caught in the act of adultery. Which always makes me mad because they drag this woman in. Where's the guy? It takes two to tango. Where's the guy? Apparently they let him go. They grab this woman, drag her in the dirt to Jesus, and expect him to put her to capital death. Because in those days, that act of adultery was punishable by death. And so they bring this woman on the ground, and they throw her down, and they say, here, we're told that we can execute her. What do you say? And what did Jesus say? He who has no sin can cast the first stone. And he waits as he writes in the sand. And when he looks up, everyone's gone. Except for the woman. And this is what they have this conversation. He says, where are your accusers? There's no one, sir. And neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Now go and leave your life of sin. Now Jesus didn't say, you're fine. No harm, no foul. Everything's okay. He did not say that. He refused to condemn her to death, but then he told her, stop doing that. Go and stop doing that. There was no washing over and saying it wasn't wrong. And I want you to make sure you understand what your pastor is not telling you today. And in the book, it makes it very clear. This is not saying it was okay. This is not saying it was not wrong. It's simply an act of giving something for your own good, for your own sake. It's not approving of the action. And it's not justifying the action. You're not justifying it. If you give forgiveness, you're not saying everything's fine now and that wasn't any problem. No, no, no. A couple weeks ago, we got hit by a drunk driver. I told you that. And my car's Julie's car, by the way. It's her little whip's a mess. It took off the back quarter panel. I didn't know how big a deal this was, by the way. They said, oh, no, when I brought it in for them to look at it, they're like, you don't have a quarter panel at all. I'm like, oh, he ripped it off. It's on the highway. And they go, oh, no. That's not good. If it had just mangled your quarter panel, we would have fixed that. We've got to order a brand new quarter panel. They're going to total your car out. It's like, no. Her little whip is fine. We love it. And it didn't hurt anything. The tires are great. The engine's great. You know, it just took off a back quarter panel. You're going to total this car? Listen, I can forgive the guy who did this, but I'm not going to say it's fine. I mean, I'm a little frustrated at that guy. Why was he drinking at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so drunk that he was out of control? I'm not going to justify what he did to us. There's a lot of things that Julie and I are going through for weeks and weeks and weeks now because of his actions. I don't have to approve of it. I don't have to justify it. But I can't let bitterness take root, so I must choose what I'm going to do with it. What if forgiveness is not to continue? It's relieving people of their responsibility. No, I think the person who did this to Julie and I needs to suffer some consequences. I don't know if this is the first offense. I don't know, but I do know this was big. And even though nobody lost their life or was injured, I'm hopeful that it won't happen again. And so I hope that they're going to be responsible from this. I'm not relieving him of his responsibility. I'm not excusing what he did. I'm not pardoning him. By giving forgiveness and saying, I'm letting go of this rope, is simply you saying, I'm going to stop ringing the bell. I'm going to stop reminding myself of my pain. It's about you and your actions and your choice. It's not excusing, not pardoning. It's not blindness. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Of course, this is the love passage. Love is the opposite of unforgiveness. Love is a selfless, willing sacrifice for the good of another person, even though they don't deserve it, not expecting anything in return. Evil, kakon, might have been done to you. We're not blind to that. It's not giving immediate trust. I'm not telling you today that if you let go of your rope, that you just all of a sudden put that person back to where he was and give him the same. No. If there's been child molestation, then that needs to be taken very care of, and then you don't trust that person. You don't say, well, I forgive you, so everything's all good now. No! There's rules now. We got some boundaries. You don't give people immediate trust after they've done something that's wrong. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgetting. Some of you might struggle right here. Because forgiveness is not forgetting. The pastor. All my life we've been told to forgive and forget. Good luck with that. I want everybody in here right now. In your mind, I want you to picture a large pink elephant with purple dots. Go ahead, take it. Picture it. Now forget it. Some of you aren't forgetting it. I'm looking at you. You're seeing it. How many of you are still seeing the elephant? I told you to forget it. How many of you are seeing it more now? Stop talking about it because I can't see it. I can't stop seeing it. Guess what? You cannot forgive and forget. That's a God thing. And by the way, I'm not sure we understand that God thing exactly. Maybe we ought to talk about it just for a little bit. Let's take a look at this Hebrews 8 verse 12. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Did he forget our sins? Did God forgive and forget? Let me ask you that. How many of you think God forgives and forgets? He cannot forget. The minute God forgets something, he is no longer God. Deity demands omniscience. Omniscience is all-knowing. Our God cannot forget. The Bible actually says he chooses to remember no more. And that's beautiful. This is not justifying what we've done. God didn't say, it's okay. Forget about it. That's not what God says about your sin. He forgives us and he chooses to remember it no more. Are you with me? I'm not asking you to forgive and forget because it's impossible. You will just struggle with that. You'll keep running your head up to the wall saying, I can't forget, I can't forget. No, you can't forget. Pain is a terrible thing. Clara Barton was the founder of the Red Cross. In a conversation with a group at a meeting, a name came up, and it was of somebody who had really harmed her, hurt her badly, publicly wounded her. And she was moving on with the meeting, and somebody stopped her and said, don't you remember what that person did to you? Don't you remember what that person did to you? And Clara Barton famously said, I distinctly remember forgetting that. So you can't forget, but you can choose not to remember. Let me tell you, the more you ring the bell, the more it's hard to get away from that peeling sound of the hurt. So you gotta let go of the rope, stop ringing the bell. You gotta give forgiveness for your own good. It's not forgetting. Forgetting an evil done to you is unrealistic. Forgiving is a demonstration of a greater grace, being fully aware yet still choosing to forgive. What forgiveness is? Let's move on to what it is. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a decision. It's a choice. Everybody say choice. Does anybody here already have the name and the hurt? Anybody have that in your mind? You already know what that is? Anybody? Would just tell me? You, Doug, come here, would you? Anybody else have the name of the person who's done something to you and the thing that they've done? Would you come here? Would you please? Doug, I want you to sit back down. Are you here? You've got a pen. And I want you to write down the name and the thing that was done to you. Here's a pen if you need that. Take your time, and I want you both to sit down. I want you to write down the name and the thing that was done that was hurtful to you. I'm going to look at you in just a little bit and see if you're done. So go ahead and do that. Nobody look over their shoulders. All right, we're going to let them take some time to write down the name and the thing that was done to you. Write it down on that sheet of paper. Forgiveness is a choice. It's a decision. Forgiveness is getting your own heart right with God. It's an inner condition. Matthew 12:34, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Unforgiveness will lead you to have a heart full of evil, and a heart full of bitterness, and a heart full of things that should not be there. And the mouth will reveal what's in the heart. It's an inner condition. That's what forgiveness is. It's something that you're doing from the inside out. Sometimes you need a tangible moment, though. Sometimes you need a chance for somebody to say, here's my moment, I'm going to do this today. I think the reason why my wife wanted me to do this message again, because she can remember the moment that she was given this opportunity, and she did it, and it made a difference. It had helped her. Are you guys ready? You both ready? Both of you need to leave with your papers. I want you each to go into your respective bathrooms. You go into the ladies, you go into the men's. I want you to flush those down the toilet and come back. Go ahead. Right now. Go flush them. Go flush them. Go flush them. Give them encouragement. They're going to go flush these down the toilet. When they come back, I'm going to ask them a couple questions, but I'm going to give them a moment. Now, I know we're mixing a lot of metaphors today. You got the bell. Now we've got the toilet. Just hang with me. Just hang with me. See, some of you today aren't going to, you're not necessarily going to be able to do this with your rope. Maybe you're not going to. Some of you are actually going to put this in your Bible, and that rope's going to be there for a while until such time that you can let go of it. Some of you might need to go home and do what I'm going to do with Doug today and our lady volunteer, that you would give this up. Maybe you need to do it on your own at some other time. It's a choice. It's a decision. It's getting your own heart right with God. It's choosing to keep no records of wrong. That's what God does. He chooses not to. He remembers our sin no more. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are removed, and God chooses to remember them, and He doesn't keep records. See, we like to keep records. How do I know that's true? I do a lot of marriage counseling. People come in and sit on the couch, and we start talking about things, and then, blah. You know what he's done? Do you know what he's done? Do you? By the time she takes a breath, he's like, well, yeah, I mean, I haven't done that, but you know what she did to me? And she did this, and she did that, and she... And have you guys ever forgiven each other? Oh, we forgave each other a long time ago. I don't think so. Because these things keep coming up. They keep coming up. You keep ringing the bell. It's choosing to keep no records of wrong. It's refusing to punish. And that's hard. Oh, that's so hard to not malign and vilify the other person. We would like that person to know how wrong they are. They should pay for this. Oh, I want them to pay for this. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We would like there to be reconciliation and restitution, but sometimes you're not going to get that. We can't then sit our whole lives waiting for vengeance and inflicting vengeance. Doug, how did it go? Did it go down? Did it? How about you, Ms. Cunningham? What did you?
I put it in the trash can. I don't know if it was that big deal.
These are responsible adults. These are the ones that followed my instructions whatsoever. So they put it in the trash. Here's what I would challenge you guys to do. I want you to think about a toilet, though. You probably made the right decision because we don't know about our plumbing. You flush that. And it's gone. I challenge you to go get it back. Now, you put it in a garbage can. You probably will find it. But if you had, flush those away. Can you see Doug? You see Mrs. Cottingham going into the... Maybe she's smarter. She goes out thinking, was there? Maybe it's here. Our septic field's there. Maybe I can open the clean out. Can you see her? That's my point this morning. My point this morning is, if we're going to offer forgiveness, we give forgiveness and we let it go, and you can't keep bringing it out. You just can't keep digging it out. For those of you in marriages that are struggling and suffering, and you keep bringing up over and over and over again, that's not forgiveness. We got to refuse to punish. What forgiveness is, continue, it's being merciful. Luke 6:36, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Mercy is not giving somebody what they do deserve. That's merciful. My merciful act is I'm not going to give you what you do deserve, because that's what God did for us. Our sins deserve the penalty of death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, that's mercy. He gives us a gift. He doesn't give us what we deserve. So friends, forgiveness is being merciful. It's being gracious. Philippians 4:5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. It's forbearance and tolerance. There's a Greek word there that has that mentality of forbearing with one another. That means not saying they weren't wrong, but forbearing with one another. We as Christians got to bear with one another, because we do hurt one another. It's banishing bitterness. Again, I point you to that couple that I know that I love so well. And they keep saying, but we choose not to be overtaken with bitterness. We choose not to let it own us. It's the greatest weight loss program ever. My son's been on the road working. He flies all over the country. He this week he actually flew out Friday morning and was back home Friday night. He flew to Charlotte, did work, came back on a plane, and was home by Friday night. Crazy life right now. Only the young should do that. He found out that in doing so, he was eating out a lot, and, well, he's a Jackson, so I like to say we're big-boned people. And he found himself heavier than he ever would have liked. And so lately, my son's been on a journey. He is counting his calories, and he knows what his maintenance calorie count is. Boy, I tell you what, everything we eat, he is on us. How many calories are in this? Dad, do we have the right dressing? I bring out dressing. This is dressing. No, Dad. That's 130 calories for a teaspoon. I'm like, really? Oh, you want the best weight loss program ever? Give forgiveness. Some of you are so burdened and weighed down by something that has happened to you that is real and is painful, but you've just not been able to let it go and to move forward. Forgiveness is a decision I make to obey God and to walk in a lifestyle in a higher realm by not allowing someone else's actions or attitudes to dictate my actions or attitudes. We're over time, so I need to do this fast. Four steps in the forgiveness process. If you want to join us today and get rid of that rope, you're going to be offered a chance. The first thing we got to do is say hurt. Everybody say hurt.
Hurt.
We're not denying you were hurt. Identify, experience, and express your feelings. That's okay. That's part of this. Then there's hate. Everybody say hate.
Hate.
You've heard the saying before, hate the sinner, not the sin. I'm not a big fan of that saying because there's still hate in the equation, and that's never good. But I understand the sentiment. We can not be happy about the choice another person made without hating them. Well, we can just focus on the action that was made, and we can focus on that was wrong, but forgive the person. Unconfessed, persistent hatred often leads to depression. So we have to deal with hurt. Everybody say hurt.
Hurt.
We have to deal with the hate. Everybody say hate. And then the third thing is the hook. This is the hard one. This is the hook. Refuse to be a victim. I know you're all thinking we've got to let that person off the hook. The person you need off the hook today is you. Some of you have been snarling. You're the one that's on the hook. Some of you are saying, I don't want to let that person off the hook. Again, remember what I said. They probably don't even know. They're not struggling. They're not wriggling around. Refuse to be a victim and allow God to bring justice. We talked about vengeance last week. God said, leave room for my wrath. Let me take care of them. You take care of you. So we got hurt. We've got hate. We've got hook. Everybody say hook. And then you protect your character, allow God to protect your reputation. It's one of our favorite quotes that Julie and I use with people when dealing with hard situations. We remind them, you protect your character, let God protect your reputation. This man that I met with and his wife, the ministry they held for about 40 years and were removed. Somebody came up to him in their town. He was working at a fair in their town. Somebody walked up to him and says, I heard you were sexually molesting children. Not a hint of that. Not even close to being a hint of that. And yet people started talking. And it's hard because I tell people, you protect your character, let God protect your reputation. Well, God, what did you do there? Why is this happening? I don't know. I don't know, but I can tell you this. Everybody that I know that knows this man says, there's no way this is true, what he's accused of. And what he's accused of is nothing big. It's not. It's silly. It's foolishness. He's the head of a huge organization, and some of his people weren't happy. You know what? When you're a leader, some people aren't going to be happy. And for him to be removed the way he was, it's wrong. And then the accusations that the community, well, he must have done something horrible. And so they make up stuff. And his character is being maligned. It's wrong. It's wrong. And yet this man refuses to let bitterness take root. He's protecting his character and he's trusting that the truth will be known. And then he will be eventually exonerated. Eventually people would have to be confronted with the truth. And he is a man of godly character. I pray that for him. So there's the hook, And then there's four, heal. Everybody say heal. Yeah. Oh, healing is needed. Let the offender off the hook. That might be an event. So today you might be saying, I don't want to let go because I don't want them off the hook. Again, it's not the hook that's in them. That's the one that you're dealing with today. You're getting yourself off the hook. But to do this today is to make a choice. It's an event. However, finding relief from pain is a process. Every once in a while, you're going to want to ring that bell. But then you have to let it go. Stop pealing the bell. Stop letting it be sounded over and over again and reliving it. Today is an event. Relief from pain is a process. I gave you this last week. Mark Twain said, anger is an acid that can do more harm to a vessel in which it's stored than anything on which it is poured. Today I want to give you an opportunity to release that. Team, I'd like them to come and close us out with a song to give you an opportunity, a moment. Today, if you can, I'd encourage you to come during the worship song and to throw this away. Throw that rope away. If you can't, keep the rope until such a time that you can. Pray about it. Let God work in your heart about it. Some of you might need to go home and write it on paper and flush it out of the toilet. Do the toilet. Don't cop out. Put it in that toilet. Because nobody wants to go in the toilet to dig it out. Maybe you need to burn it in a fire pit tonight. There's a lot of ways you can tangibly make this an event, but it's going to take time. And God begins, the healing does begin. Here's my conclusion. Stop ringing the bell. Let's let go of the rope. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray today that help would be given to people that are struggling, that are dealing with something that's difficult. God, I pray that while we understand this is an opportunity, a one moment in time to make a choice, it doesn't make everything right. I pray for people as they walk through these valleys, as they hear the bell peal one more time, that they begin to get further and further away from that. Oh God, give peace, give healing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.